I noticed that his clothing was of a dark green, that he wore a broad instrument belt, on which was a much larger talking device than the one to which I had become accustomed when I had stayed with him. Where is Xity? Is she with you? Asked Palman. Xity is dead, came the shocking reply, in Satara's own language, Ximsi Xity Tarsat, followed by the confirmatory translation in French and Spanish, the languages in which he and Palman normally communicated. Supposedly, a disaster had befallen an expedition to another planet, killing Xity, Mr. Huey and many other crew members aboard their spacecraft. The two sat talking sadly for more than an hour. Not feeling like talking to his housekeeper or the gardener, Palman drove in a daze to a doctor friend at San Pedro Nonualco, where he stayed the night. The following morning he was awakened by the newspaper boys, shouting about a flying saucer having been sighted over the capital, San Salvador, and the San Jacinto hills that surrounded the lake where he lived. When he bought the paper, there were the banner headlines, Omni Vuelta to Sober San Salvador. As Railman related, from the reports, it seemed that shortly before Satara's visit, the spacecraft was reported over the Cerro de San Jacinto and had then continued high above San Marcos. The amazing thing is that the spacecraft had silently, and for quite a long time, stayed in an observation position directly over the extensive capital town of San Salvador, exposed to the vision of several hundred thousand people. Palman reports that one of his neighbors observed the spacecraft as it came down at tremendous speed and settled, as if on an air cushion, between the Isles of Los Masquerade and Los Patton, exactly midway between his house and the Ojibwa River outlet of the huge tropical lake. I do not know of any person on the lake having seen the return of the spacecraft, nor do I myself know on which part of the lake Satara took his speedboat in order to be picked up. Contrary to what other spacecraft observers have described, the ETB Orion control craft did not show any kind of illumination during darkness. An unfinished story. Ludwig Palman's book, Cancer Planet Mission, was published in London in 1970. There must have been some promotion, because I recall that a friend heard an interview with him on BBC Radio, and there was an article about him in The Guardian. The book fell into obscurity, and is known only to a few UFO researchers. A planned second volume, describing some of his experiences in more detail, was not published. Sometime afterwards, I visited the publisher in London, with the aim of tracking down Palman. The place was deserted and I was unable to obtain a forwarding address. Later, I learned that the company had gone into liquidation. Veteran researcher Wendell Stevens, a former US Air Force pilot, was likewise unable to track down Palman, though he did come across corroboration for some of the claims. In 1967, Stevens was delivering several Beechcraft T-34 trainer planes to the Peruvian Navy, making fuel stops at the last Colombian town, the river port of Leticia, on the Amazon. On impulse, he hired some native boatmen to take him for a trip up the river to view rare orchids in the jungle. Remarking on the lush, dense vegetation along the bank, he asked the Indians why the natives made no plantations of some of the more rare exotic tropical fruits that grew there in abundance. I was certain there must be a market for them, said Stevens. It would only require a little organization. The natives replied that this might be too large a project for them. Then one of them remarked that he knew of some Americans, 3 or 4 days upriver, who were doing just that. What was more, the native added, he knew of a white man, a German, who had gone up there to look for them some months previously, but who had not returned. Although the Indians had never seen these Americans, they had heard about them from the wilder tribes farther upstream. The native added that the Americans had aircraft at their encampment. Further inquiries in Lima led Stevens to a somewhat inaccurate newspaper report about one Ludwig F. Palman, a German salesman who sold food processing equipment and health foods to a chain of stores in Lima. This man, reported the newspaper, had gone upriver from Mosquito in the Peruvian-Brazilian border area looking for a giant arrowroot plant for possible hybridizing, seeking a greater yield by improving the strain. This much is true, Palman was doing research for the Agricultural University of Limu at the time, to find an inexpensive high-protein food. The Indians taking Palman upriver asked him why he did not go further upstream, about another 3 days' journey, where a party of Americans were doing the same thing. Intrigued, Palman took up the suggestion, but found that the Indians would only take him another day upriver, where they would leave him with another tribe for the remainder of the trip. On arrival in the vicinity of the American encampment, the newspaper report continues, the Indians superstitiously refused to take Palman any further, but put him ashore and pointed him in the right direction. Palman walked to the camp, consisting of plastic-like tents. The Americans were fair-skinned, dressed in toga-like garments and spoke in a strange language. Palman greeted them first in English, then Spanish and German, to no avail. Getting a limited response in French, he was welcomed and provided with a place to stay. According to the Lima report, Palman learned that his hosts, who said they came from another planet outside our solar system, named Tripura, were hybridizing plants and other stock to be taken back there. These extraterrestrials were served by three streamlined disc-shaped flying machines. After a while, the report continues, Palman became concerned that his business associates would worry about his whereabouts. The Puritans offered to deliver him to his destination in one of their flying machines. Because of his long absence, he asked his hosts to take him to his ranch in the Dominican Republic instead of to Lima, and was transported there in 15 minutes. Stevens believes that Palman was covering his tracks in his interview with the Lima reporter. He had associated the location with the Peruvian town of Mosquito because you could never get to the plantation site from Mosquito by river, and the jungle there was all but impassable. He had omitted all of the earlier contacts with the Haitians as well as what was going on in Lima and elsewhere, probably to head off possible interference for them as the operation was still going on. Palman was not returned from the plantation to the Dominican Republic when he left, and he did not make his first contact with the extraterrestrials by river from Mosquito. I searched for Ludwig Palman all over South America in 1968 and 1969, and again in 1971 and 1972, wrote Stevens in his introduction to a reprinted edition of Palman's book, which he published in 1986. He was moving around Peru in 1968 and then disappeared. I also looked for him in West Germany in 1977 and 1978 but failed to find any productive lead. Though German by birth, Palman is believed to be a British citizen, having fled to England as a young man to escape the Gestapo during the Second World War. My inquiries at the Passport Records Office in London drew a blank. There is no record of a British passport having been issued to a Ludwig F. Palman. The search for him continues. Palman was the first to admit that his story is unbelievable. As I read what I had written, he commented ruefully, I came to the conclusion that all this would be in vain, because who would want to believe such a story? It's a concatenation of unlikely circumstances for which I can offer very little explanation. I have only tried to tell what happened, and even if it should be considered a waste of time, I felt it necessary to do so, because of the religious theme involved. It is stupid of me perhaps to expect that others should feel about this what I felt. Men will continue to be born into their present-day beliefs. Cancer Planet Mission may seem to be the product of my fantasy, which I try to pass on as a true story. However, much of what I relate can be checked. Many things may not correspond to the exact date and time as it happened, simply because I did not date my diary from day to day, and because I was overwhelmed by what happened to me. I, myself, did not believe this possible for a long time. Just to have known Satara and his sister made me realize that none of us at the present time has the slightest notion of peace, real peace. So great was their relaxed and modest humanism, so great their contentment with time, wrote Palman, following his initial meetings in India. They just seemed to live every hour, every minute, without being time conscious. and plus they are just an example of a planet that has reached the stage that the Danish mystic Martinus calls the perfect or real human kingdom, while we still live in the transition zone between the animal kingdom and this same real human kingdom, which he believes will become fully established here on the planet in 3,000 years.